Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our tactical debrief for Aston Villa 3, Brentford 3. We're going to go in depth and take a look at what happened in our game against Brentford. We're going to take a look at passing networks, average positions, heat maps, the numbers from individual players. We're going to take a look at the still images from that game. But how am I feeling after it now? Okay, a little bit like the match reaction. Kind of feel okay about it. I think it's disappointing that we didn't win the game from being 2-0 up, but the points weren't ours. You earn your points when that final whistle goes. So for me, it was a big point in the magnitude of where the game went and how that game ebbed and flowed. To come back from 3-2 down to earn a point is a massive point in the grand scheme of where we are. So that's how I'm feeling about it. That's how I'm choosing to look at it as well. So we're going to take a look at the images first. There are positives on this episode, so I am starting with the negatives, but then we'll edge towards the positives. So stick around for those as well. But we're going to start with our defending because it was terrible and it does need highlighting. And when we do take a look at the images of how we actually did defend, it's quite eye-opening, to be fair. And the one thing that I'm a little bit annoyed about as well is that we're just not aggressive enough. We don't see the magnitude of a position that we can be in on, say, a left-hand side, where that's where they exploited us, as danger. It feels like we only sense danger at the very, very last minute. And I think if we look at the danger from any given area and have more of an intelligence intensity, then a lot of these goals can be avoided. When I look at goals, I don't just look at the last part of a goal. I don't just look at the last part and be like, that's Pau Torres' fault. That's Carlos' fault. That's Konsa's fault. Because you attack and defend as a team, there's normally ample amounts of opportunities to stop a goal from happening before it actually ends up in the back of the net. So just to say it's your fault because you're the last line of defense and you allowed that to go in, I don't agree with that. Whenever I'm looking at a goal, it can be avoided from moments before the initial contact of a ball going in a box, etc. So for me, there are areas that we can massively improve on. And to me, it's just intensity and aggression. That is something that I've been thinking all season that we've lacked at defending our box. It feels like it's so haphazard at times. It's like, if it goes in the box, someone will deal with it. And it's not the case. Just be aggressive at the start. Stop it going in the box and attack your box. We've got strikers. We've got wide players. We've got attacking players that will attack the final third. But you can attack your box as well to defend with, second contact, third contact, aggressive, attack it. So that's something that I think we can really, really work on, because this season, we have struggled at defending set pieces on first contact, on second contact, on reacting to second contacts. And I think it's been a pattern that we've seen all season. So it's something that we can massively improve on. And that's something that I think Emery will look to work on next season as well. So let's take a look then at some of the still images from the games. So let's go with the first one then. So two things to note before the ball even ends up in the back of the net for me. Number one, this area here, 2v2. And when I was talking about, we can pick blame on a player at who's at fault, first opportunity here, we've got to sort this defensive mess out, basically. Two players deal with it. So either Tielemans goes and deals with it, or Luke Dean deals with it and becomes aggressive. And we sort this situation out before it actually happens. Then the next phase to look at, which is, again, even more slightly eye-opening, is that our left back is currently on the wrong side of the pitch. So for whatever reason, he's been dragged into this area. So if you're looking at this from a tactical point of view, and the players are realising that our left back is currently now on the right-hand side, then everybody needs to shift across one, because Konsa now is in a no-man's land position because he's not actually defending anything. So Konsa's eyes are drawn on this here, when really he should be looking over his shoulder thinking, well, where am I? Who can I be picking up? Do I need to shuffle across? Because what ends up happening is, you can see Pau Torres, his arms in the air. Pau Torres is talking to the team saying, guys, I've got two players, because Pau Torres is now our left back. So we've got a 3v2 in our box, which can't happen. It simply can't happen because we've been overloaded. And surprise, surprise, the player who scores, who fluffs it and ends up hitting his wrong foot and goes in, is Zanka. Zanka is unmarked in the middle of all of this anyway, and he's the one that scores. So defensively, it was a mess to start with because we're all at sea, and I just think the players need to tactically be aware of what's happening. And I know things go quickly in football, like this instance, you know, it happens really quickly, but we've got to adjust and we've got to make sure that we're aware of what's happening tactically and be aware of Luca Dean being on the wrong side. Pau needs to maybe sort this out quicker. Konsa needs to have a look over his shoulder. So it's all about being aware, because I'm going to show you how being aware positively can affect us a little bit later on. So this goal is massively avoidable if we deal with this, if we sort this out quicker. So frustrating, annoying. And then we don't stop the cross going into the box. I think it's Damsgaard who ends up getting that shot across. But again, look, you know, we've got a 3v2 in there. We've got the player that's arriving at the end of the box that ends up peeling off and getting on the end of it anyway. So, you know, this is why when I was saying I was really frustrated yesterday with our defending of the goals, because they're avoidable. But if you defend like this, you deserve to concede. We deserve to concede from this because we're just having an absolute mare. So really, really frustrating for the first one. And I'm sure the defensive coaches and Emery will be looking at this and showing the players now, just be thinking what is going on. Because again, you know, when I went back to that one just and I showed you where Konsa was, and I said to you, what's he defending? He's defending absolutely nothing, because you can see him here. And then when we go back to this one, his defending position here, he's not actually doing anything. I've no idea what he's actually doing in there, because he needs to be getting back in here, really, because Luca Dean's trying to block the cross. So that one, very, very annoying and very, very frustrating. Now, this one, the next one, the Umbremo one, again, Konsa has to stop this cross, and he has to be more aggressive. He's not aggressive enough in this instance. He's tracking back, and he just sticks his leg out, and we allow this ball to go into the box. Be aggressive. Just get stuck in here and clear it, and just make that tackle or whatever, but just deal with it in this instance. So again, first instance, we can deal with this. We allow the ball to go into the box, and Pau Torres is at fault for this one because he's just not aggressive. He's not aggressive enough. He needs to just deal with it. He needs to just header it out, clear it, get rid of it, And then that's the second instance where we can clear it. He knows where Mbeumo is. He knows Mbeumo's there. Just deal with it. Deal with it. Clear it. Be aggressive. Get rid of it. And we don't do that in this instance. And he doesn't jump. He doesn't jump. He doesn't try and head it. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he's trying to think he's trying to do by clearing this, by not jumping, not being aggressive enough. So it's frustrating that Pau, you know, was weak in this moment. And we've got the goal again here. You can see, get your body on the line. Just get your head in there. Take one if you have to, because if he gets his head anywhere near his foot in this instance and he scores, and Mbeumo's going to be done for a high foot. So just put your body on the line, and that's the defending that we needed, and we didn't have it, and it's a poor goal to concede. So the cross needed to be stopped. The cross could be dealt with, and then Pau needs to be aggressive and stick his head in there. And then this one is very, very poor as well. The ball's gone over the top. So the ball's gone over the top. And if we're looking now, Pau, for this instance, can see what's happening. Pau can see all danger. Pau knows exactly what's in front of him. And he knows that Visa is in between Konsa and Carlos. Pau can see it all. And what happens, Visa ends up running through this gap here behind Carlos, and Pau doesn't sense danger. And this one is really, really bad. Really bad defending. Because as we can see, Visa has ran off Carlos, and Pau, the player that was watching it all, Pau was watching where Visa was going. So Pau's starting distance was here, and Pau's finishing distance was penalty spot when this goal went in. Pau needs to be here. Pau needs to be covering Carlos. Well, I don't know why Pau has stopped at the halfway line from being here. Pau was there, and Pau finished here. Why has Pau not followed Visa? I've no idea why Pau didn't follow Visa here. And it's poor, poor defending. But, you know, you're going to concede goal after goal after goal if you defend like this. And I'm just really frustrated with the defending of those goals. And it needs to be better. And another thing that I've picked up on, and I'm going to show you a bit of a comparison now between Aston Villa's duels numbers, so ground duels, aerial duels, compared to Brentford players' duels and ground duels. Now, I've noticed a bit of a pattern when we're looking at duels, and we're looking at Villa generally have our duel ratio is generally, if there's 10 duels for a specific player, we'll win 5 of them. The gap is quite a lot between duels to duels won. Whereas when we look at Brentford's in a second, the gap isn't very big whatsoever. So if we take a look at some of Villa's players' duels and the duels that are being won, these stats are all coming from SofaScore now. So you can go at home, download this app at your fingertips, and you'll see all of this data that I'm going to use right now. And it's free, and it helps the channel out. So if you want to support the channel, then download this app, click the link that's in the description, or scan the QR code on the screen, and it helped this channel out massively. So we're going to take a look at Aston Villa's duels then. So Youri Tielemans won 2 of his 5 duels. John McGinn won 2 of his 8 duels. We've got Bailey won 2 of his 6. Konsa won 3 of his 6. Luis won 3 of his 8. We've got Pau Torres won 3 of his 6. Moreno won none of his 2. We've got Carlos won 2 of his 7. So those duels won ratios aren't that great. And I think this all now ties in to this haphazard defending that we saw against Brentford. Aerial duels. We've got Watkins won 3 of his 5. Rodgers won 2 of his 3. Consor won none of his 2. Bailey won none of 1. Luiz won 2 of 3. We've got Carlos won 1 of 2. Duran won 1 of 2. Powell won 1 of 2. We've also got ground duels. McGinn, 2 of 7. Rodgers, 3 of 7. Bailey, 2 of 5. Carlos, 1 of 5. Powell, 2 of 4. So those duels there, those duels numbers, we're losing duels. And I think this is all tying in. So we have a look at Brentford's now. So we'll have a look at Brentford's duels won. So we'll go here now at their duels. Reguilon, 3 of 3. Visa, 4 of 9. And Embuemo, 5 of 10. Damsgaard, 4 of 9. Collins, 3 of 3. Zanka, 6 of 12. Janhelt, 2 of 4. Onyeka, 2 of 3. So their duels that they are having, they're winning their duels. We've also got Onyeka, 2 of 3. Tony, 1 of 1. Jensen, 2 of 4. Yamalok, 1 of 2. Aya, 4 of 7. Ruslev, 3 of 4. So those duels are a lot closer. We've also got their ground duels. Collins, 2 of 2. Zanka, 3 of 5. Janelt, 2 of 2. Onyeka, 1 of 2. Reguilon, 2 of 2. Visa, 3 of 7. So I think the comparison of those duels being won is quite eye-opening, really. And I think that's something that we can take away from that game and something that we really need to fix up on. So that's my point on the defending. I think I'm annoyed, frustrated. I want to show you where we've gone wrong, because, you know, I don't want to just be one of these that will just be, okay, like, yeah, we've done great this season. We've conceded 3 goals. Let's just sweep it under the carpet. Let's just forget about it. You know, I want us to be better than this. So I will highlight it, and I think it does need highlighting. So, you know, we do tactical episodes. We take a look at what's gone wrong. So it's not being negative. It's just showing and highlighting where we're going wrong and what needs to improve on. So again, it's really technically constructive criticism of what needs to happen and what needs to improve, really. But I want to highlight an area of something that was really good, and awareness. So I've spoke about the defensive awareness of the team that was not on show against Brentford. But here I'm going to highlight the awareness that is needed and the awareness of a player that has it and that was brilliant, and that is Morgan Rodgers. Morgan Rodgers is getting better and better and better every single time he plays for Aston Villa. When I first saw him, I actually thought, you know what, there's a player here, and I can see what Emery likes in him. And Emery doesn't sign bad players. Emery doesn't sign players that aren't going to develop. Emery hasn't signed Morgan Rodgers from the Championship for that Championship player to be the be-all and end-all. Rodgers, under Unai Emery, is going to improve massively, tactically, his physical game, his awareness, his defensively. And Emery's going to round him off and create a player that is going to improve over time. And we're slowly starting to see that improvement game on game. And that shows you elite-level coaching. It shows you a player that is learning and understanding of what the manager wants from him. And it's absolutely fantastic. And I've seen some absolute rubbish on social media about Rodgers, he's crap. We need to sell him. We need to get rid of him. Like, why are we not seeing the pattern of players coming into Villa and improving? Like, every single player has improved. So for me, Rodgers was brilliant against Brentford. Absolutely brilliant. And here we can see Morgan Rodgers' goal. Already, give me the ball. I want the ball. And the first couple of games with Rodgers at Villa, it was a little bit more like, doesn't feel like he belongs in the team. And that's not a mad criticism. That's just something, how it works and how it evolves. But now there's the confidence there. Give me the ball. I want it. Gets the ball. But before he gets it, and this is what I want to highlight about awareness, the next phase after give me the ball is scan. Scan. What's around me? Where's the space? Where have I got to attack? If he gets the ball now and runs into there, why is he going to run into that danger area there? So Rodgers knows the space is here to exploit this player here. And the awareness to take that look, to have a look at what's around him, is something that those defenders need to be doing when they're defending. Have a look at what's going on around you. Receives the ball. He does his little pirouette swivel. And then he's opened himself up. So now, once he's done this swivel and sold this player here, he knows he's going to have his chance and he's going to have his opportunity. And this is a great piece of skill because he's swiveled it and he's opened his body up. And now the defender is going to be left wanting. So great bit of skill from Rodgers and a great goal. And it needs highlighting because that goal is absolutely brilliant. And if there's any young kids that are watching this podcast or watching football in general, this highlights how you can attack space, because by taking that extra look of having a look around you, of what's around you, it's bought him time and it's bought him half a yard because he knows where he's meant to be going. So the Rodgers goal, absolutely brilliant, fantastic. And there's so much for, you know, young kids that are watching to learn and watch how he's done things in that moment. So I want to highlight that because it's a great goal, absolutely brilliant, and fair play to him. He's getting better and better. Defensively, I thought he was quite good. There was one moment in the first half where he came back and trapped back and won the ball. Absolutely fantastic. So Rodgers, just keep working hard because I'm really liking what I am seeing from you. Right, next up, let's go back to SofaScore then. And let's just have a little look at the game momentum bar. So as you can see here, we've got Aston Villa in the first half. Very, very dominant. Came out second half, pretty much the same. You can see that mad spell there. And then credit to Villa, because we could have folded, we could have gave up, but we didn't. We kept going, and it was testament to the team's belief. We've got the stats. So 70% possession for Aston Villa, 30 for Brentford, 11 shots for Villa, 3 on target. Both teams had 3 shots on target and scored 3 goals. Passing stats, 571 for Villa, 247 for Brentford, 85% passing accuracy for Villa, 68% passing accuracy for Brentford. Accuracy on our long balls, 51%, 42% for Brentford. Dribble success, both teams had 50%. Here we can see the average positions for Aston Villa. So we can see that we've got a double pivot of Youri Tielemans, and we've got a double pivot of Douglas Luiz in there. So here's Douglas Luiz's heat map, and we've got Youri Tielemans's heat map. We've also got John McGinn's advanced position as well. Interesting that Tielemans was playing more advanced and had a higher heat map in the attacking third of the pitch. We've got Konsa's heat map, a little bit more advanced as well. And we've also got Carlos and Pau Torres. Luca Dean, not really getting too far forward. Rodgers offering that threat on that left-hand side. Watkins, heat map, we can see he's in the 18-yard box, 6-yard box as well. And Bailey on that sort of right-hand side. Didn't really think Bailey had a good game. I felt like he was a bit... It's not as good, was he, Bailey? I didn't think Bailey was as good in this game. We'll have a look at the average positions for Brentford. Here you can see the Brentford average positions. If we want to go and have a little look at our passing network, Aston Villa's network was pretty good, to be fair. A lot of triangles. We'd be nice to see a little bit more work with McGinn, Tielemans into Ollie Watkins. There's a little bit of a gap there where, you know, there's no balls going into him as well. But network was okay. Not too bad. And then here we have Brentford's. A lot of longer stuff, a lot of space for you know, Villa were in and around them quite a lot. And I think you've got not too much going into number 27 and number 19, number 11, not really getting too much of a partnership either. So I think Villa, with the ball, were pretty okay. Dominated first half, that mad spell. We've got to stop that from happening. We've got to stop allowing teams to come back at us. Luton, Nottingham Forest, Manchester United, Brentford. You know, those are a good handful of games now. So I think we've just got to really make sure that when we're in these winning positions, that game management is a little bit better. And I think that's something that we can really work on. But all in all, you got to look at the Premier League table of where we are. We're currently still in fourth place. Spurs play against Nottingham Forest. If they win that, they're level on points with Villa, with a game in hand against Chelsea. Liverpool have got Manchester United, so we need Liverpool to win to just maintain that gap. Fifth place, to me, looks the worst place that we're going to finish this season. You know, we've got some games to go. What is it? Six games to go. Six big games. We've got to just keep going. We've got to just keep get those points ticking over. I think I've pretty much covered everything that I wanted to cover on this episode. Really just wanted to highlight the defending, really. And big up Morgan Rodgers. And yeah, keep the faith. I mean, yeah, some of the comments of top four is over. It's not. It's far from over. You know, I keep looking at Tottenham's run of fixtures and the games that they've got to come, that's up and coming. So if we take a look before we go, if we take a look at Tottenham's games, if Villa had these games, I would be very, very worried, I think. So Tottenham's games to go. So they play Forest today. They've got Newcastle away, which is a very, very tough game to play. Newcastle away. We know how difficult that is. They then play Man City at home. Arsenal at home, Chelsea away, Liverpool at home. So Forest, Newcastle, City, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Liverpool all in a row. That's tough fixtures in a row. So fans that are saying it's all over, come on. Come on, we've got this far. We've got to back the team. Like, yeah, we drew a game, but it's not over. There's loads of twists and turns and things that are going to happen. So keep the faith, but we've got to be better. And I think that's the overriding thing coming out of it. Like, we've got to be better. So cheers, everyone, for watching. We will be back with a specialish episode on Monday, if it goes ahead. I think it will. So yeah, and then we've got Lille on Thursday, so we'll start our content Tuesday. We'll have match preview, and then we'll have probably predicted lineup that will be out on Wednesday. So cheers, everyone, for watching. Up the Villa.